The eminent psychologist and psychiatrist Carl Jung was a disciple of Freud and later on deviated from some of the teachings of his master, himself a master in the field of psychology, psychiatry, wrote in his book, Modern Man in Search of a Soul, the following. During the past 30 years, people from all civilized countries of the earth have consulted me. I have treated many hundreds of patients, the larger number being Protestant, a small number of Jews, and not more than 5 or 6 Catholics. Among all my patients in the second half of life, that is to say over 35, there has not been one whose problem in the last resort was not that of finding a religious outlook on life. It is safe to say, he writes, that every one of them fell ill because he had lost that which the living religions of every age have given to their followers. And none of them has been really healed who did not regain his religious outlook. This is a truly remarkable statement emanating from one of the truly great in this field of developing science, a field where it was customary to discredit religion, to describe religion as something purely in the nature of a defense mechanism, as an escape from reality, or in similar derogatory terms. The fashion had been, and in some circles still is for that matter, to associate religion with repression, with guilt complexes, with inhibitions, with all kinds of prohibitions, with otherworldliness, with doctrines and with attitudes which were regarded as hostile to the mental health of man. Today, psychiatrists, as a rule, will welcome the aid of religion in the treatment of their patients, recognizing that religion can offer valued reinforcement to what the secular science of mental therapy can offer. And the church likewise welcomes the contribution of the psychiatrist, the psychoanalyst, just as it has welcomed the labors of the physician generally in the healing of men. Religion has always been associated with healing. Healing of body, healing of soul. And from the early ministers and priests of all religions, were among other things healers. For the field of religion and the field of healing, science of healing, overlap. Even as in actual life, the individual, in the actual life of the individual, there is a constant interplay between the physical and the mental and the spiritual. And the disorders of the one inevitably are reflected or bring about disorders in the other. This morning, I wish to speak not of what religion can do for the mentally ill, or the mentally sick persons who require clinical attention. I wish to speak this morning of healthy people who are mentally sick. Of healthy people who need and lack positive mental health. Of those people who are not suffering from any disease or any infirmity, but who are nonetheless deficient in the harmony and in the vigor and in the satisfactions of real living, which is, after all, what mental health is. There are people who have good eyes and who do not see what they should see. Good ears who do not hear what they should hear. There are people who have all the requirements, the physical requirements of a healthy and normal, happy life, but whose lives are nevertheless shut through with deep, unfathomed unhappiness. Now, what is mental health, really? Someone has defined mental health in the following terms. Healthy living, or mental health, means that an individual has found a reasonable measure of peace with himself and with his environment. It means that an individual is able to pursue reasonable, purposeful goals, may use his capacities and talents fruitfully, experiences a sense of security, of belonging, of being respected, has a knowledge that he is liked or loved and wanted, has a sense of self-respect, of self-reliance and achievement, and in addition has learned to respect others, to accept others, to love others, to live fairly and in peace with others. Now, I submit that these are all religious concepts derived not from scientific textbooks at all or from the laboratory, but from the sacred teachings of the seers and the prophets and the spiritual guides of mankind. And I submit further that without these religious concepts and religious values, which must be accepted and cultivated and practiced, no mental health is possible for man or for society, regardless of all the intellectual skill which a human being may possess, or all the mental agility, or all the accumulated knowledge and information, or all the wealth, or all the power which may be his, or which may belong to a society or to a generation. What is the aim of religion, really? True religion, not superstitious religions, not the many things that go by the name of religion. The aim of religion is to teach men and to train men and women for efficient and effective living by setting up for them tested and proved standards of conduct, by giving them perspectives on life. The aim of religion is to help men and women to fulfill themselves, to rise to the highest levels of their competence, of their potentialities. Religion aims to encourage and to sustain men and women in all their worthy enterprises and aspirations of their lives, and also to mitigate their hurts and the inevitable sorrows and disappointments of life. Religion is a Torat Chaim, an instruction, a code for living, and a discipline for effective and efficient living. And to that end, religion gives people certain convictions which help them on their way to this more abundant life. Now, in the first place, religion gives man a sense of belonging, a sense of security, which is indispensable to mental health. Religion gives man the belief that he dwells in the security of a moral universe, a universe which is not always intelligible to him, many of its mysteries which he cannot explain, but nevertheless, it gives him the faith that this universe is not chaotic and is not unheeding, but it is the creation and the dwelling place of a God who is just, wise, and merciful, a father to all men. You may recall that beautiful psalm which is attributed to the greatest of all prophets, to Moses, which begins with that remarkable phrase, Adonai Ma'on Ata Ayita Lanu. O God, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. That's a profound conception. For a human being to feel that he is dwelling not in a cold, unheeding universe, but dwelling with God and in God's world. Lack of belongingness leads to a spiritual bewilderment, especially when a human being feels himself defeated, when he is bereaved, when he is beaten down by overwhelming forces. He suddenly comes to feel, to experience a sense of being lost, of not belonging, of being driftwood, of being in the grip of forces which he cannot control, of being helpless, no one to turn to. And that leads to a desperation in the searching crises of life, which undermines mental health, mental tranquility, mental security. But to know that the everlasting arms of God are always there to behold a man, and that God's heart is always there to welcome him. Always, even when the worst happens. Ki aviv imi azabuni v'adonai yasfeini. Even when my father and my mother have forsaken me, God will take me in. And so, the man of faith is always able to say, in all the tribulations of his life, the eternal God is my refuge. God is my high tower. Thou hast been a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. That's the first thing that religion, real religion, gives to a human being. Sense of belonging in an orderly, moral, just universe. That his destiny is in the hand of a God who is kind, whose providence will shelter him in all the vicissitudes of life, that contributes to mental health and mental security, the confidence in living, and therefore to the joy of life. And then too, my dear friends, religion gives a man something else. For lack of a better expression, I should like to term it, religion gives man a listening ear. A listening ear. A few years ago, a minister wrote an interesting book with the inspired title, The Ministry of Listening. The Ministry of Listening. And that indeed is a blessed ministry. Just to serve as the listening ear to someone, to some overburdened heart, to some overwrought spirit of a fellow human being. That is a supreme service which we can give that human being. Oftentimes, all that a distraught human being needs and wants is someone to talk to. Someone to whom he can unburden himself, not to confess and to receive absolution, but just to talk to someone who will listen, who will understand, who will sympathize, and by so doing to link himself up with a source of strength which that individual at that moment lacks. A listening ear. And to the man of deep faith, God is just such a listening ear. Anota ozen halo yishma. He who planted the ear, will he not hear? Im yotzer ayin halo yabit. He who formed the eye, will he not see? I read you this morning a magnificent psalm, Psalm 71, which begins with those great words, incline thine ear unto me. And there the soul of the worshiper pours out to the listening ear of God all his sorrows and his troubles and his fears and his hopes. And that psalmist, I'm sure, was helped when he had unburdened his overwrought spirit into the listening ear of God. I can remember as a child, and I would not be surprised if some of you might recall, I can remember my own mother, a blessed memory, when the crossroads of life seemed to come upon her, when the worries and the trials of life seemed to become too many for her, that she would turn to her faded old book of Psalms, to the book of Tehillim, and in her quiet, sweet and subdued voice, the unforgettable music of the soul, she would pour out her heart to the listening ear of God, and then rise as if refreshed, as if a load had been lifted, as if something rare and precious had been communicated to her in response. And the dark ways became light again. This is the value of prayer, really, when you come to think of it. Prayer allays pain and anxiety, restores confidence and tranquility to a bewildered and harassed mind and spirit, because it offers man an opportunity to communicate. Make your prayer unto him, and he will hear you, and light will shine upon your ways. And so, in my judgment, religion makes a very significant contribution to mental well-being of human beings by providing them with a listening ear, someone in whom they can confide, someone with whom they can share the troubles of their lives. And in the third place, I believe that religion helps people towards or to maintain mental well-being by giving them the assurance that they never need feel completely abandoned, that they never need to condemn themselves to everlasting reproach because of any wrongdoing which they may have done, because of any past sin or crime. A man need not remain forever crushed with a burden of unexpiated sin, something which gnaws at the vitality of a human being who is aware of having done something dreadful. Religion says there is a God, a merciful God, who forgives sins, who does not desire forever the punishment or the death of the sinner, but he desires that the sinner should return and live. There is forgiveness for sin, and what mortal man is there who does not sin? Who among men is perfect? And how can we go through life with a sense that wrongs which we may have performed will pursue us in their relentlessness throughout our days? Religion says there is forgiveness, there is atonement, there is a new chance, there is the possibility of a new beginning. Religion is moral optimism. Lift up your spirit. Arise and mount again. That's the message of religion. God has given man the capacity, and he offers him the opportunity time and again of self-correction, of self-reconstruction. Man can free himself from all crippling childhood fixations and conflicts. A man can, once he becomes aware of them, a man can free himself from all his present maladjustments, which bring tensions into his life, and frustrations which block his way to a well-balanced and harmonious life. But he, man, must make the effort. That's the challenge of religion to man. He must exercise his willpower. He must exercise the freedom of choice which God has given unto man. Religion is a challenge to mental well-being through self-enlightenment and self-discipline. How many people do you know, normal people, physically not sick, no organic ailments, no fatal neuroses or psychoses, normal people. How many such people do you know who have crippled their own lives, embittered their days, undermined their mental health, either through greed or through prejudices of one kind or another, or through intolerances, or through hate, or through false pride, or through suspicion of all kinds, or through envy, or through anger? How many families do you know of that have been broken up, their harmony shattered, brother against brother and sister against sister, through one or another of these spiritual ills, spiritual evils that man is heir to? The cure for these evils are not with the doctor, not with the psychiatrist, not with drugs or medicine. Oh no, these cannot help at all. The cure is within the reach of everyone, and that is by obeying the law of God. Seek me and live. And the law of God has been defined for us. The regimen of moral and spiritual living has been given unto us. It is not in heaven that a man need say, who will go up to heaven for us and bring us down? It is not beyond the sea. It is here before you, in your heart, and in your mind to do it or not to do it. Thus religion teaches us to find harmony in ourselves by living harmoniously with our neighbors. Religion teaches us to build bridges between ourselves and others instead of fences separating us from others. In all life situations, the proud man, the snobbish man, builds fences and hurts himself more and isolates himself more than those people from whom he would like to be separated. Religion teaches us to find that self-respect which is so important for wholesome living, by respecting our fellow men and by winning their respect because of it. Religion teaches us to enjoy what we have and what we achieve by sharing what we have with those who have not. No healthy-minded man can be really healthy-minded who is not at the same time sympathetic, charitable, compassionate, cooperative,
with his fellow men.
To avoid isolation and loneliness in life, which sap all the joy of living, religion teaches us to practice the arts, the gracious and noble arts of friendliness, to go out seeking our brothers. Now these are, my good friends, the bases of mental health in normal people. And these are qualities which are given to a human being not as a gift. One has to pay a great price for them. One must learn to acquire them, to nurture them, to practice them, and to training and self-education, to grow into mental health. Rei nasati lefanecha hayom et achayim ve'et atov. Behold, I have set before you this day life and the good, and death and the evil. Choose thou life.